All right. Well, let me invite you this morning to do something that I hope becomes a habit for all of us as a church family and personally in our lives. I want you to open up to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And we're going to begin there this morning in chapter 1, verse 1, and be there for the next 8 or 9 weeks together as a church family. So if you'll find your place there right after Psalms in the Old Testament, 31 chapters of wisdom here that we're going to dive into over the next few weeks. And just want to take a couple minutes and kind of set the stage of what we're going to be doing. We're really going to introduce the book of Proverbs to you this morning and kind of launch us into a journey together over the next 2 months that we're going to pursue wisdom. We're going to pursue wisdom as a church. We're going to challenge you to pursue wisdom as individuals and as families. We've provided some resources for you to help you on this journey, and we're going to be introducing a lot of those this morning as we continue on here. But I want to take just a couple minutes and kind of set the stage with really a little allegory of what the book of Proverbs is all about. So I want you to this morning to kind of use your mind's eye and your imagination a little bit, and I want you to just imagine that there's two people walking on a trail through the woods. All right, if you can just think about that for a minute. They're on this mountain trail in a remote part of the woods somewhere, and they're walking along, and they've been walking all day. It's near the end of the day, and their water supply has run out hours ago, and man, they are very, very thirsty. They're really craving some fresh water, and both of these fellas, as they walk along, they come to a crossroads there in the path, kind of like maybe the crossroads you see there on our screen behind you, but behind me, that there's a decision to be made as they go on their path. And when they get to this crossroads, they've noticed a sign that's kind of been knocked down, and on this sign, there's two arrows. One arrow, and they don't know which path it's pointing to because the sign's been knocked down, but one arrow says this. It says, fresh water, and points one direction. And the other arrow says, stagnant water, keep away. Points the other direction. So they're kind of left to figure it out on their own. Which way are they supposed to go? And they're standing there at this crossroads of decision, and one of the hikers just kind of impulsively makes a decision, and he goes on, and he sees that one path has traveled a little bit more, and it's a little bit more beat down, and as other hikers come along, the majority of those hikers are going this path. This path looks a little bit easier. It kind of goes downhill, so one hiker just kind of impulsively makes a decision, just follows the crowd on that path. The other hiker pauses for a minute and thinks through the decision that's before him. He realizes that the decision he makes on one of these paths, what's going to be at the end of the road, at the end of one path is going to be a pool of stagnant water. At the end of the other path is, according to the signs, going to be fresh water. So he thinks through this decision very carefully. He begins to ask some folks as they go by. He tries to seek a little bit of wise counsel of maybe somebody knows which path they should take. And he kind of gets conflicting reports. And he stands there at this crossroads ready to make a very important decision. Now, the decision that he's about to make, now watch this, is not a morally right or wrong decision. In other words, there's not a rightness or a wrongness. What he needs to do in this moment is to make the wise decision. So as he stands there pondering the decision that's before him, somebody comes up and hands him a guide. And he takes this guide and he opens it and he realizes what he has before him is now a map that he didn't even know existed of all the trails in the area. And he looks and he finds his location and he realizes right before him this map, this guide tells him exactly if you go this path, then here's what's at the end of that path. If you choose the other path, here's what's going to be at the end of this one. And he's been provided with this incredibly valuable guide to aid him to make the wise decision. So according to the guide, he trusts it and he follows the path that goes up the hill. And it's a less traveled path. It's actually a more difficult path. But the guide promises, here's what's going to happen at the end of that path. And sure enough, when he gets to the end of that trail, there's a blue, crystal, clean, pure pool of fresh drinking water. And he just throws himself into that pool and he's satisfied with the water that he's drinking. He has made a wise decision. Now the other hiker, it didn't turn out so well. He didn't have a guide and he just kind of impulsively followed the path of least resistance, and it took him to a stagnant pool of water at the end of that path. The end of his path was not satisfaction at all. Now, Pastor Mike, what in the world does that have to do with the book of Proverbs? Well, kind of the little allegory that I've just described is really life. I mean, you and I, we share something in common, no matter what stage of life you are, or what age you are, or whether you're a believer in Christ, or maybe you're new to this journey, or maybe you're still considering this thing called Christianity. All of us on a daily basis stand at crossroads of decisions, right? We all do. We're all faced with making decisions, and we realize if we follow this path, it will take us in one direction, and if we follow this path, it'll take us in another direction. Sometimes we don't have as clear a guide, maybe, as what was given, and sometimes we just have to pull in what we know about the situation, our understanding, maybe some experience, maybe wise counsel, and we try to do the best to make the wise decision. I'll just say this, as a pastor and as a dad and as a father and a friend, I get quite a few opportunities to meet with people. And in the past 20 years or so of ministry, the majority of the meetings with people who are faced with crossroads of decisions, sometimes the decisions are clear of right versus wrong. Sometimes we have those. But most often in the journey as Jesus followers, we have decisions ahead of us. And the question is this: what's the wise decision? And maybe you're in one of those situations now, or you're going to be faced with one of those this week. Life is just constantly walking a path, and we have to make decisions and follow different course of decision making and paths in our life. That's kind of life. What if God, in His goodness, entrusted us with a guide? And that guide was filled with wisdom. It was filled with directions on life's decisions, and even like maps to decisions sometimes that this guide shows us. Mike, if you choose this path, Mike, in your life, you just need to know here's what's going to be at the end of that path. Or Mike, if you choose this path, here's what's going to be at the end of that path. And there's this guide that God has entrusted us with to make the wise decisions in life. Well, let me introduce to you the book of Proverbs this morning. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a series of revelations given from God about how to live life skillfully. The book of Proverbs, you're not going to go to the book of Proverbs and find lofty theology. It's not going to take you to the heights of heaven per se, like maybe a Romans or a Ephesians. The book of Proverbs is going to give you street truth about, man, where you're living today. Decisions that you're making today, relationships that you're facing today, choices that you're facing today, a path that you have to get on and you have to decide. If I go down this path, the book of Proverbs is sometimes painfully practical to say, you may choose this path, but you need to know what's at the end of that path. Choose this path, and you need to know what's at the end of that path. The book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. And what we're going to do for the next several weeks together as a family is we're going to pursue wisdom. We're going to pursue wisdom together in the book of Proverbs. We're going to pursue wisdom together individually. We're going to give you some steps of action. And we're going to pursue wisdom as families. We're going to give you some resources and pursue wisdom as our life groups and tell you what that's going to look like this morning. So what I want to do is try to introduce this journey that we're going to be on for the next few weeks. That's all I'm going to try to do this morning. I want to ask three questions, really, about this whole thing that we call wisdom. What is wisdom? Why do I need it? And then where do I get it from? But let me introduce to you a little bit the book of Proverbs and what the book of Proverbs is all about. Maybe you're unfamiliar. Maybe you've heard about Proverbs. Maybe you knew it was in there, but you really have no idea what the book of Proverbs is all about. Or maybe you know and it's just a refresher for you. But let me read to you the first few chapters or the first few verses in Proverbs. The words will be on the screen. You can follow along. But I'm going to begin in Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 3. It's kind of introduction to the book of Proverbs. Here's what the Bible says. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. David was the greatest king Israel ever knew. Solomon is his son, and Solomon is the chief author and compiler of the book of Proverbs. Continues it, he says, to know wisdom. The word wisdom appears throughout the book of Proverbs over 130 times. It's throughout the book of Proverbs, this idea of wisdom. And instruction to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Now the book of Proverbs, if you're familiar with it at all, you know the book of Proverbs, it's this collection of divine wisdom. We have 31 chapters, by the way, the book of Proverbs. And that's why several years ago, somebody introduced me. I was in college, and I had never really spent much time in the book of Proverbs at all. And I'd, to be real honest, kind of gone through a bumpy season, a few months where I had, to be really honest with you, I'd been kind of duped by this situation I was in. I'd been conned by somebody. And I kind of realized that, and I was coming out of it, and I really felt like a doofus, you know, that I'd just been tricked so easily. And somebody that was investing in my life, this husband and wife, they said, Mike, we want to introduce you to the book of wisdom. We want to introduce you to the book of Proverbs. And I knew very little about it. And they said, I don't know if you know this, but Proverbs has 31 chapters. Kind of corresponds to the days of the month. And they encouraged me to begin a practice. This has been over 20 years ago. And they said, if you'll take the day of the month, let's say it's the first, like tomorrow is, and take the proverb that corresponds to the day and just read that proverb. And man, watch how God just kind of meets you exactly where you're living with the wisdom that you need for that day and the coming days. And 20 years ago, I kind of began that practice. Now, I haven't followed it perfectly every month. I don't want to say that at all. But for in large part, the book of Proverbs has been a significant part of my life over the last 20 years. In fact, as a church today, we chose today, the 31st, knowing that tomorrow begins a new month, September 1st. And one of the things we're going to challenge you to, all of us as a church family, is beginning tomorrow on September 1st, open up your Bible and simply begin to read the book of Proverbs beginning in chapter 1. Next day, September 2nd, go to chapter 2, Proverbs 2. And let's begin together to pursue wisdom as it's laid out in the book of Proverbs. But what you have here are these collections of divinely inspired truth. They're practically painful. I'll go ahead and give you a little disclaimer as we jump into the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, you're going to be reading along at times and you're going to get a little mad. Because the book of Proverbs will get into your business. The book of Proverbs will get right where you're living and will deal with some decisions you're making. And there'll be times it's as if God steps into your life in a very loving way and says, hey, Mike, what are you thinking? Or, Mike, let me show you what the possibilities are. If you'll just follow the path of wisdom that God has lays out here for us. They're written in a very simple, yet very engaging way. The word proverb, this is very important, the word proverb literally means to be like. You say, that didn't really help me much, Pastor Mike. What does that mean? Well, the book of Proverbs means to be like. What the author of many times in the book of Proverbs will do, will take something that was very familiar in his day, something that everybody could relate to, maybe an agricultural analogy or something that people in that day could relate to, and he would take it and say, okay, you know what this is like, then take that and apply it to something you're not as familiar with. In other words, the Proverbs takes things that you're very familiar with to help explain things that are not quite so clear in life. What Proverbs does. Let me give you a few examples, some of my favorites. Here's one. Proverbs 16 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than a mighty warrior. One who rules his own spirit is better than one who conquers a city. Translation, if you're able by the Spirit of God to even control your own anger and control your own heart, you have more potential than even a mighty warrior in life. Here's another one. Some of you will relate to this one. Proverbs 14 says this, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. What? What does that mean? Oh, everybody in that day, they knew what oxen were. They knew what cows were. They knew if you have livestock, man, livestock are what, right? Messy. If you want a clean barn, well, don't have any livestock. But the rest of that proverb says this, but, I mean, where there are no oxen, the manger's clean, but much revenue comes from the strength of the ox. Translation, there are certain people, maybe, or certain situations in your life that may end up being very messy, but in the end, they bring great profit and valuable to you, and are valuable to your life. There are some people, maybe even now, that you're investing in, or some people in your life, and if you were real honest, you'd say, man, they are just messy. But man, there's great value in people, even who their lives are messy. And everybody could kind of get that. Man, if I want a clean, tidy life, don't invest in people or don't have oxen. You'll have a clean barn. But what good is a barn without oxen? Everybody got that. There's another one. How about this one? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That's pretty simple. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, you can either inflame a situation or you can neutralize a situation by the choice of your words. Practical. How about this one? Fire goes out for lack of wood. Everybody can relate to that, right? Been camping? Your fire burns out because there's no wood, and pretty soon you don't have a fire. Okay, here's the point. Fire goes out for lack of wood. Quarrels and dissensions disappear when gossip stops. Ouch. Writer of Proverbs is saying, just like you add wood and it keeps a fire going, when we continue in gossip and slander and backtalk, guess what continues to happen? Division in a family and division in relationships. Nip it. So he takes these practical things that everybody could relate to, and then they begin to teach things in life. Solomon was the king of Israel for 40 years. The Bible says he was the wisest man who ever lived. 1 Kings 3 teaches that God said to Solomon when he became king, Solomon, I'll give you anything you ask for. Solomon said, I got to lead these people. I want to lead these people well. I want to lead your people well, Lord. And Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding, and God gave him more than any man that's ever lived on the face of the earth. In fact, 1 Kings 3 said, God gave him wisdom like no one before him or after him. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And we now have a collection of sayings and divine truth put together over 2,800 years ago. We have a guidebook to life. So we're going to invest some time in this great Old Testament book of Proverbs over the next few weeks. Now let me ask you three questions this morning. You can write these questions down. These are kind of all means of introduction into this series. But I'm going to ask, what is wisdom? Why do we need wisdom? And then how do we get wisdom? All right? First question, very clearly, what is wisdom? What is it? I mean, we all use that word. You hear it from time to time, but how do we kind of give a working definition that we're going to use as a part of this series for wisdom? Well, let me read Proverbs 1, 3 and 4. It says this, the Proverbs were written to receive instruction in wise behavior. So to a degree, wisdom involves wise behavior. It involves the way we live life. Wisdom involves righteousness and justice and equity. Those three words are, to some degree, similar. They all involve relating to one another. They involve particularly how we relate to God and how we relate to one another. So wisdom involves living life skillfully, walking through life, particularly how we relate to God and how we relate to each other. It goes on, it says, wisdom involves prudence for the naive. We don't use the word prudence a whole lot, but the word prudence, and maybe in your translation it says discernment. Wisdom involves understanding and seeing through things at face value. Wisdom involves being able to see things for what they really are, people for what they really are, opportunities for what they really are, so that we don't gullibly just step into situations with our eyes closed. Wisdom grants us, involves prudence and discernment and clarity of thought. It says it involves discretion and knowledge. The word discretion means thoughtful consideration before making a decision. Translation, it means thinking things through to their logical outcome. That's wisdom. It's like standing at the path. You remember the hiker. One hiker just impulsively went down the path and didn't even think about it. The other hiker stopped and said, wait a minute, I've got to think through this. I've got to think through the decision I'm making. How much different would some of our lives be, mine included, yours included, if we practiced wise discretion to be able to say, I'm going to make this decision, but I need to know what's at the end of the path. I need to think beyond just the moment. For you, for me, we're followers of Jesus. You need to know we live in a culture that trains you, teaches you, coaches you, and rewards you for living for the moment. To make impulsive decisions, you need it now, you want it now, you deserve it now, it's all that matters is the now. Proverbs turns that upside down and says, no, part of wisdom is discretion in being able to think through the outcome of that decision. You may choose to make that decision, and you may choose to go that path. But let me be very clear. The Bible says, here's what's waiting for you at the end of that path. Proverbs 16 says it this way. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's sometimes a way that seems very right to us, but we need wisdom to help our perspective and shape our perspective. Wisdom involves the ability to navigate successfully through daily life. The ability to navigate successfully through daily life. Proverbs 1:7, we'll look at it a little closer in a few minutes, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So wisdom involves a healthy view of God. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So, you put all those things together. Let me try to give us a working definition of this thing called wisdom. Go ahead and put that definition up on the screen. We can define wisdom like this. Living skillfully. And listen, I imagine there's not a single person in this room that doesn't want to live skillfully. But biblical wisdom, living skillfully, involves living skillfully in light of who God is and what God has said. Biblical wisdom is living life skillfully in light of who He is and in light of the guide that He's given us, what He has said. Wisdom. Now, for the next few weeks, we're going to unpack that definition and try to apply that to all of our lives to live with great wisdom. So, what is wisdom? There's a working definition for you. Second question. Why do I need wisdom? I mean, maybe some of you are sitting here and you've heard that word a lot and you kind of look at your life and you say, okay, Pastor Mike, I get all that. I get what the Bible's saying. But why would we spend so much time focusing on this thing called wisdom? Let me give you three reasons. Number one, why we need wisdom. First is because you don't have it. Hello. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're not born into this world with just these heaping masses of wisdom flowing out of us. Did you know that? I have children. Many of you have children. It doesn't change when you're older as well. We just know how to mask it well a little bit sometimes, but we still lack wisdom. We're born naturally without wisdom. You need wisdom. You need the capacity. Proverbs 1:4, listen to this. It says, wisdom is to give prudence to the naive. The word naive means simple. To give prudence to the simple, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Prudence, again, is that idea of discernment. Discretion is that idea of thinking things through. Listen, you need to come to terms with who you are. We don't naturally practice discretion and discernment, and we sure don't practice naturally thinking things through to their natural consequence. Wisdom helps us with that. I was trying to think of an illustration earlier, and I thought of an account that happened in the life of my son when he was much younger, when we lived in Vegas, that demonstrated this very point of how much we need wisdom and we're not born with it. We lived out west in Las Vegas, and in Las Vegas, your yards are very, 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 very small, and they're surrounded by cinder block. And so we decided we'd get one of those little upright vinyl pools, you know, those soft-sided pools, and we had it in our backyard. And well, about that time, Josh and I, we had taken up archery, you know, bow and arrow, get it? So Josh decided one day that he was going to practice his bow and arrow skills. And let me be very clear, he did this when Dad was at work, Mom was home, okay? I want to make that real clear. So Josh failed to practice a lot of discretion and failed to practice a lot of prudence as an 8 or 9 year old. So he takes this little bow and arrow out in the back, and he was sure with his skills that he would be able to shoot and miss our soft-sided vinyl pool. But somehow, some way, when he didn't really think through it, he shot the arrow and it didn't quite land where he thought it was going to, and bam, right into the side of our vinyl pool. Not up high, down low. So then he decided that he really needed to hide this from Mom and Dad. So he goes up and he sees the arrow as it's sticking out the side of the pool, so he just decides he'd pull it out. Well, then this stream of water, as you can imagine, starts shooting out from the bottom of our pool. Our other son, Joseph, had decided he needed to go tell Mom what was going on. So he's already upstairs reporting to Mom what's happening. And when Jennifer and Joseph got back downstairs, Josh had decided he was going to fix the hole. And he went inside and he got scotch tape to fix the hole. So he came outside, and Josh is at the bottom of the pool, and he's trying to scotch tape up this hole, and this water's oozing out everywhere. And it was a picture of, you didn't really think through that one very well, did you? Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, kids. Can I just tell you, some of you are wrestling with situations in your life because of lack of discretion and lack of discernment and lack of wisdom, and you're trying to scotch tape your life back together. Right? And you think, if I could just back up a few months or maybe a few years, and if I could go back to that crossroads where I made this crazy decision, and if somebody had given me, listen, a guide, and somebody had lovingly gotten my face and said, bro, what are you thinking? Or maybe somebody had taken me by the hand and said, listen, you can go this course, but you need to know what's at the end of that path. Maybe you wouldn't be in the situation you're now in, and you're trying to put it all back together with scotch tape. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. This is not pie in the sky. This is where you are living your life today. This is where you will live your life tomorrow. Painfully practical book of wisdom. We need wisdom because we don't naturally have it. Secondly, we need wisdom because it's woven into the fabric of creation. What does that mean? Proverbs 3:13, you can read that on your own. It says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Her profit is better than the profit of silver. Her gain is better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing compares to her. Listen, verse 16, long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her ways are paths of peace. Proverbs 3:19 says this, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he has established the heavens. By knowledge, or by his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. What does that practically mean? Why are you saying that? The reason you and I desperately need wisdom is how the world operates. God has hardwired within creation the way things operate, and wisdom is his manual. Wisdom is the way he has given us to skillfully operate through these things in life. Let me give you an illustration. God has designed the way relationships operate. God has designed the way marriage operates. God has designed the way your body and my body operate best. Listen, God has designed economics. I mean, God is the creator of it all, and he is hardwired like a master architect. Listen, the way it works best. So if you have the guidebook from the creator and the author, and you're following his book, then that's where you're going to know the most prosperity and success and joy. But to try to operate outside of the way he has established it and set it up, and you scratch your head and say, why am I beating my head against the wall? Why does my life seem so miserable? Why does it seem like I can't make any progress? Some of you are battling a relationship right now, or relationship woes, and it's because you're trying to operate outside of the way God designed it. Some of you are so frustrated with incredible financial anxiety and burden and turmoil, and it's just like this dark cloud over your head, and you're trying to say, why am I here financially? God designed economics, and there's a way they work. He's given us the guidebook. The book of Proverbs is not a set of dead rules that you're to follow. The book of Proverbs is how to live life skillfully, given to us by the creator and the author of life himself. So why do you need wisdom? Well, we don't naturally have it. The world's designed that way. And then thirdly, we need wisdom. And I'll speak to this really quick, but this is very important, because the world is a dangerous place. World is a dangerous place. Proverbs 1:4 says this. It says, the book of Proverbs was written to give discretion to the naive. Or maybe your translation says simple. Now watch this. The book of Proverbs gives discretion to the simple or the naive. The word simple and naive, there's a word picture, and here's what that word means. It means an open door. Meaning, without wisdom, our lives are an open door. Open to what? Anything and everything. At night, my family has a practice. We go and we lock our doors. You know why? Because there's some things and some people we don't want in our house, right? And you do the same thing? Without wisdom, your life is an open door to what? Anything and everything. World's a dangerous place. You realize that, right? Proverbs gives us so much instruction about this. Proverbs 2:11-12 says this, discretion or wisdom will guard you. Guard from what? Guard from things you don't want in your life. Wisdom and discretion will, understanding will watch over you. Listen, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Hey, you need to know what you read, what you listen to, what you watch. Everybody is not speaking truth. Did you know that? And everybody doesn't have your best interest at heart. And all the products that are seen on TV don't really do what they say they're going to do when you get them home. Right? Wisdom guards you from being an open door to anything and everything in your life. Proverbs 2:16 says this, and by the way, this is a father really teaching a son. The Proverbs were ultimately written from a dad teaching a son, but obviously applicable to all of us. He says to his son, son, these things are written to keep you from the evil person. And also verse 2:16 says, to also deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. In other words, we live in a sexually, right, exploitable nation. We live in a sexually charged culture. It's everywhere. Wisdom enters in to keep you from making ridiculous choices and decisions. And your life is not an open door to anything and everything. You don't operate your house that way. Man, you lock your car doors. Don't let our lives be open to anything and everything that's out there. You need wisdom. I need wisdom because we don't naturally have it. It's the way the world operates. And listen, the world is a dangerous place. Third question, and we'll finish with this. How do we get it? I mean, I'm kind of hoping at this point in the message, you're sitting there going, okay, man, I hear all that. It's very important to me. All right, how do I get wisdom? Where does it come from? Let me give you three steps or three things to that we're going to kind of follow over the next few weeks together. Three things of the way we get wisdom that we're going to pursue together. Number one, we get wisdom with a teachable spirit. Teachable spirit. What does that mean? As you read Proverbs, and I pray, man, I hope all of you begin tomorrow reading in Proverbs 1. But as you read this book over the next few weeks and months, what you're going to see is a theme that is, it just comes out over and over and over from Proverbs 1 all the way through chapter 31. And it's the idea of the wise person is the person who has a teachable spirit. In other words, they realize they don't know everything. They realize they don't have it all figured out. They are open to instruction. They are open to rebuke. They are open to correction. And they desire that in their life. Over and over, Proverbs teaches this. Proverbs 1:5 says this. How does the Bible describe a wise person? Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear truth, teaching, and increase in learning. A wise man is one who realizes, man, I've learned some things, but I hadn't learned everything yet. And there's this hunger to grow. There's this hunger to grow in wisdom. And a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Fools despise wisdom because they love their own way. There's a level of pride that says something like this. Man, I got it figured out. I got it covered. I know what I'm doing. Don't bother me with that. I've got it all figured out. It's this pride that billows up. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:1, a wise son, and by the way, parents, what a great verse to pray for your sons and daughters. A wise son or a wise daughter accepts their father's discipline and correction, but scoffers or fools do not listen to rebuke. The picture of a fool in Scripture is one not just that makes a mistake. We all make mistakes. A fool is one who makes a mistake, receives correction and instruction, rejects it, and goes back and does the same thing again. And again. And again. And again. And again. There's a proverb that says, like a dog returns to its vomit, so is the fool who continues in his own folly. That's how the Bible describes foolishness. And we all blow it. We all screw up. We all mess up. But here's the way a church family is to operate. Now, I want you to listen. A church family is to operate in a culture of love and a culture of discernment where, as your brother, you as my brother or sister, if you see me going down a certain path that you know is going to cause me harm, you come to me because you love me, because you care about me, and you get in my life and you say, bro, what are you thinking? You may not even see this in your life, man. You got this blind spot here. You probably can't even see. You know what a blind spot is. You're driving along in your car and you look and everything looks okay. However, there's a semi right beside you and you cut over into it. You didn't even see it. You and I have blind spots in our lives. You know that? Part of wisdom is that a brother or a sister comes to you and says, bro, you may not even see this in your life. You're headed down a path that's going to hurt you. And when the wise man, listen, the Bible says when a wise man receives something like that, you know what the wise man says? I never even saw that. Thank you that you love me enough to speak into my life. You know what a fool says? Who do you think you are? What right do you have to speak into my life? Big difference. We're going to see that pressed out in the book of Proverbs over the next 8 or 9 weeks together. Wisdom has a teachable spirit. Wisdom opens up this book and says, God, I've got a path ahead of me today, and I don't know what's ahead of me. God, I need your wisdom. Wisdom is James 1:5 that says, whoever lacks wisdom asks for it. God, give me wisdom. God, give me a teachable spirit. Let me learn. It begins with a teachable spirit. Secondly, a diligent pursuit. teachable spirit, a diligent pursuit. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Acquire means to go after. Acquire means a plan of action to go after wisdom. So, for us as a church, we've kind of put together a plan. Over the next 8 weeks, that we want to invite you, all of us together as a church family, to pursue this thing called wisdom together. Let me show you really quickly what that's going to look like. And invite you to join in and be a part of this. Number one, there's a church-wide pursuit where we're going to, on Sunday mornings, we'll be having the messages right out of Proverbs on both campuses here, Johnson City. We're going to take 8 different topics in the book of Proverbs and teach through those over the next 8 weeks. Encourage you to be a part of that. Secondly, there's a personal pursuit. And man, for some of you, this is going to be a challenge. For some of you, you're already doing something like this. We have set it up so that tomorrow begins September 1st, which corresponds to Proverbs chapter 1. Let me beg you and encourage you to begin tomorrow to open up your Bible, set aside 15 or 20 minutes and say, I may not understand everything I read, I don't even get all of this, but I'm going to start to read down through Proverbs chapter 1. September 2nd, Proverbs 2. September 5th, Proverbs 5. You get the idea. You may miss a day or two here. That's okay. The point is, you're pursuing wisdom. We've created a resource for you. We've created these journals. It's got our TCBC logo on it. They're just blank pages when you get on the inside. But these journals are designed for you. You can pick one of these up after the service. They're $5. Man, if you say, I don't have $5, I'd really like a journal. Man, take a journal. If you've got $10, give 10 to cover each other. But we want you to have one of these. These are tools for you to begin reading down through the Proverbs and interact with what you're reading. We provided you this little postcard or this little bookmark. They're all out on the desk. You may have got some when you came in. And on the front of it is just a little guide. It's called a SOAP method. S-O-A-P. As you're reading along in Proverbs 1, S stands for Scripture. Man, God, give me one verse that just jumps out at me. Write it down. O stands for observation. Make some observations about it. Here's what God's showing me. A stands for application. Make some applications of how, God, I want this to be different in my life. And then P is you just turn it into a prayer and pray it back to God. It's a little method for you to use the journal, interact with Scripture, and then it's a group journey we're on. If you're in a life group, if you're not, I encourage you to connect in a life group with those little cards in front of you or go online. But in your life groups, take your journal, and when you're asked the question, hey, what's God teaching you? You can go, I'm going to show you. Man, I got it right here. God's been teaching me something in Proverbs 5 or Proverbs 8, and look what he's showing me. And you as your life group can begin to interact over that scripture. So it's a church-wide journey. It's a family journey, or it's a group's journey, but it's also a family journey. Now listen, moms and dads. We believe it's the role of the church to partner with you in the discipleship of the next generation. Every Sunday morning when we're gathered here and also on our Johnson City campus, our Next Gen team has developed an entire curriculum for 2-year-olds through 5th grades that's built on the book of Proverbs. So what that means is while you're in here and we're learning and we're walking through Proverbs together, your kids are going to be back there doing the same things. And you get to get in the car when you're driving home and say, hey, here's what we learned today about wisdom and Proverbs. And your kids are able to say, I learned something about Proverbs today too and about wisdom. And you begin to have conversations as parents with your kids. We provided you a little resource on that bookmark of questions that you can ask around your dinner table to take common occurrence times in your life and have spiritual conversations with your kids. This is a family journey. Our middle school will be doing this. Our high school will be doing this in their life groups. Our church is going to go on a wisdom journey over the next few weeks. Now, last thing. How do you acquire this? Well, teachable spirit. We talked about that. You have a plan. And then thirdly is this. You get wisdom from an abiding relationship with Jesus. You say, Pastor Mike, you seem to say that almost every week in here. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. Listen, I want you to hear it this way, and we're going to close with this. When we talk about pursuing wisdom, you're not pursuing an it. You're pursuing a who. You're pursuing him. Proverbs 1:5 says this, or Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's where it starts, a right view of who he is. Proverbs 2:6 says, from his mouth come knowledge and wisdom and understanding. It comes from this book as you abide in him. And your ultimate pursuit is not that you gain knowledge. Your ultimate pursuit is not that you gain just this head knowledge. But man, you are growing in an abiding relationship with King Jesus Christ. Paul got it. In Colossians chapter 3, and I'll close with this, chapter 2, he wrote this to the church at Colossae there. He said, about Jesus Christ, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know where the fullness of all wisdom lies? The person of Jesus Christ. So we, hopefully you, all of us, for the next few weeks are going to pursue wisdom, but we're really pursuing Jesus. And I want to invite each of you to be on that journey together. Would you bow your heads for a minute here this morning? I want to ask our team to come on up on stage, and they're going to just be here with us for a moment or two. I want to ask you this morning, we're just going to have a simple time of response. I just want you to have a time of response this morning. We're not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that, but with your heads bowed right before the Lord, I just want you to have kind of a holy moment before the Lord this morning. You've heard some challenging thoughts, and you've heard the Word of God. And just before the Lord, you and Him this morning, are you in the place that you want a purpose in your heart, Lord, this morning before you? With your help, your strength, I'm going to pursue wisdom. I want to be able to live life skillfully in light of who you are and in light of what you have said in your word. I don't even understand what all that means. Lord, I'm going to open up my Bible tomorrow and I'm going to begin in Proverbs chapter 1. If that's you here this morning, just you and the Lord, just tell Him. I want to pursue wisdom with my church family. If that's you here this morning, James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask Him for it. We're going to ask Him, God, give us wisdom to live skillfully for Jesus' sake. If that's you here this morning, I'm just going to give you a second right there in your seat just to talk to the Lord and ask for His help. Ask for His strength. Know that you're not doing this alone. We're doing this as a church family together. Right there in your seat, I'm just going to give you a second or two. Then I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to dismiss this time. Maybe something like this. Lord, God, I want to honor you with every area of my life. God, I need wisdom. Lord, more than anything, I want to pursue you. Truth. Help me to live every area of my life skillfully for your glory and your honor. Lord, give me the strength day by day to follow a plan with my brothers and sisters and with my family. God, change my life. Lord, we love you. God, I thank you that you loved us enough. You've given us a guide. You've given us a book, Lord, to pour into a living Word of God. God, that we don't have to stumble through life and try to figure it out. God, you've given us a guide. Lord, I pray for our church family that we'll walk through this journey together. Lord, we will be wiser at the end of the day. Lord, in a way that brings glory to King Jesus. And those around us look and say, there's something different about him and her. It's Jesus. God, we love you. Guide us through this journey by your strength, for your glory. In Christ's name.